This has been a Night of the Living Geeks production. For more information and content, visit NLTLG.com.
You can hear, I don't know if you can hear it, but I can kind of see on the waveform where somebody walked into the bathroom in my house because the fan goes on. Yeah, that's great. It doesn't matter. That'll get drowned out. Okay, anyway, that's as good a start as any. Hello, and welcome to Outwit Outplay.
He's been 5 minutes telling us that we went off the rails last time. You're going to include a part about hearing a bathroom in your...
Well, now I have to because you referenced it. I was just going to edit it out and say start with the hello part. But anyway, so now you guys know that the bathroom fan in my apartment is super loud and I can hear it from my bedroom. Anyway, hello and welcome to Outwit, Outplay, Outcast, a Survivor podcast on the Night of the Living Geeks Network. Here to talk to you about Season 35, Heroes vs. Healers vs. Hustlers, Buy One, Get One Free, Episode 10 of the season, which was a double episode, and good episode. The first one was great. The second one, we kind of knew how it was going to go, but seeing as how we knew it was going to be Joe, it was kind of nice seeing him get hoisted by his own petard. So
it was fantastic.
Yeah. It was so amazing.
It was a good example of how you edit an episode with an inevitable outcome so that it's still entertaining and good.
And super satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. We finally got what we wanted for.
But I think that's half the editing and it's half their plan. I think the way that they got Joe out made him look unnecessarily dumb almost, but it was so satisfying. It's like, you know, they could have just said, okay, we're just going to keep doing healer, healer, healer. And, you know, like, okay, Joe's next, whatever. But the way they did it and the way they lulled him into sleep so that they could do the switch with Ben doing all the acting, like, it just made Joe so overconfident and so cocky. And it was so satisfying when he left.
So if Ben doesn't win $1 million, I think he's going to have a totally successful acting career.
Yeah, he was really good. The first you notice of him being real good is after the tribal council where. Who got voted out last? Cole. After the tribal council where Cole gets voted out, they're all gathered around the fire and Ryan and Chrissy and all them are panicking and saying like, can I ask why you picked him?
Oh, you mean JP? JP got voted out in the first half.
Cole already got voted out? No. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm talking about the previous. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This is the gathering around the campfire.
The very beginning of this episode.
Yeah. Very, very beginning. Everyone's like, oh, can I ask why you voted out? What made you pick Cole? And they're like, nah, that's privileged information. And even Ben is joining in. And for a minute there, I forgot that he wasn't a turncoat. I was like, damn, Devin's being a jerk right now. What's his problem? And then I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's just acting.
Nick, you're thinking of the second half of this episode because that didn't happen yet at the beginning.
I 100,000% guarantee you that it happened in the very beginning. They're gathered on the beach at night after the tribal council.
You're crazy.
I love that on the One World show, Nick, you were one of the people complaining about their saying 110%. And now you're saying 1,000%.
Because I do, in fact, 1,000% guarantee you. We can check the tape right now. I will go to CBS.com/Survivor, and the first scene will be...
There was no blindside them getting out cold. Everybody was well aware that was happening.
This episode.
You will see. It's going to be a second here.
Nine are left. You know, the most annoying thing happens to me every single day. Well, not every single day, probably a couple times a week. And I'm sure you can both relate. Is when you go.
Wait, put a pin in it. Put a pin in it.
Thank you for not informing me. My pleasure. I had to. Something spiced it up a little bit.
But that was a stupid reason to play your idol, though.
Yeah.
Tribal Council was crazy.
We hear us being right.
The seven accomplished exactly what they needed to accomplish, which mainly was vote out Cole. But the best part of the night was when, out of left field, Dr. Mike played an idol for no reason at all. It was icing on the cake. So, at this point, we have two healers left to vote out. Joe and Mike are dead men walking.
It didn't make any sense.
I'll tell you what.
No! Oh, yeah, no, you are right. This was the second half. All right. I admit I'm wrong. Yeah. This was, I'm looking at it now. I'm like, oh, no, this is different.
Fuck, Brian. We should have made a bet on that.
No, right? I don't have any points to lose. Huh. Okay. No, you're right. Well, now I'm just going to edit that whole part out and say that I was right the whole time. No, I won't do that.
I would love it if you did that.
No.
Put a thing in there about how you were wrong.
Cut out 6 minutes of stuff or just be like, God, why are you guys so wrong? All right. Well, anyway.
Speaking of that, though, we need to talk about that part because that pissed me off. And they were all just being like, God, wasn't Mike a dumbass last night for playing Zonal? What a dumbass. God, what a dumbass Mike was. Like, you fucking asshole. He knew goddamn well it was, you know, one of the fucking healers. It was really a good idea to play his idol right then. How did he know it wasn't going to be him you actually decided to vote for?
Yeah, he knew there was a 1 in 3 chance it's me, and I'm going to try and make it me. He tried to pull a taunt. Unfortunately, the mob that he was taunting is taunt immune.
Yeah, but I mean, either the taunt works or it doesn't.
Yeah.
But you play the idol because, just like you're saying, like it's 1 in 3, and you don't want to play that Russian roulette. And like Mike says, like you don't want to be the fool who goes home with it in your pocket.
Yeah, what I would have said last week had I not been in Sacramento was that I liked it because, all right, I knew it was a healer who was going to be going home, but I didn't know which one. It wasn't clear because of the whole idol play, and because he was trying to use his idol to get somebody else out to put the hate on him, it meant potentially someone from another, or like one of the original two tribes, whatever, the heroes or the hustlers could have gone home instead. And so that's why I was saying it was very up in the air. Unfortunately, his move didn't work and Cole went home, but it was an exciting way for it to have gone down. That's what I would have said. That's why in my notes I said I'm genuinely impressed by this episode, and
So I mean, the fall for this one, for the fall after Mike going home, ends up being that the seven does split up.
Yeah. Cole. No, actually, you know what? You mean... Yeah, you do mean Cole. Never mind.
He means Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think of the seven splitting then, when JP got voted out, but that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you get the 4-3-5, or the 4-3-2, so you can do 4-5. And you get the coconuts.
Hey,
that's so much.
Yeah, that was stupid. No, I loved it because at that point they're just like, you know what? We're here for another 3 to 6 days. Let's just have fun. I don't necessarily like you all that much because, yeah, nobody really likes Joe. But it's like we've been forced into this position without, you know, through no fault of our own. It's just the healers were on the outside looking in because the hustlers didn't have the numbers and the heroes didn't have the numbers, and they figured, wait, if we just band together, we can vote out all the healers one by one by one, and there was nothing they could do about it. Like you saw at the after JP gets voted out, you see it when Ryan is talking to Mike and he's like, I'm willing to play with you now. He's like, I've been trying to get you to play with me for the last week, and you said nothing. Why now, all of a sudden? Because you're on the bottom. And I was like, thank you, Mike. That was, and you know what? That's been my problem with this season thus far, is that it was, here are two weak tribes. They're just going to join together, and they're going to stay strong and vote out the weak people. And then the five within that are going to vote out the two on the bottom, and then it's just going to be this, that, and the other thing. It was very slow and boring up to that point, but now things are getting interesting.
I will say, the reason I don't like coconuts isn't that I think it's a corny, dumb name. I actually think it's kind of funny. I like that Mike is like, nuts, because I'm a nut doctor. I don't like it because I'm seeing Mike, who's a person I think I like and a person whose playstyle I think I would enjoy, getting dragged down by Joe. And I it bugs me that this is another player who's not going to have their best potential season because of Joe. Like, Desi didn't get her best potential season because of Joe, and now Mike's going to have the same problem. Those are two players I was really excited to see play going into the season, and this annoying asshole fucked it up for him. Well, I mean, Mike has time to recover, maybe, but it bugs me. It bugs me that guy dragged down two other players with him.
I kind of disagree because I completely agree that about Desi. She got shafted by the editing because they were focused so much on Joe. But Mike, like, even if Joe had been some other healer, like say Joe goes out first and it's Rourke and Mike and their team. I don't know, blonde nuts. I don't know. Let's say that they're together. It's still going to be this same situation of we're just going to have some fun because it's still the same thing. They're still getting voted out, not because they're threats, not because whatever, but because they're healers. And nobody's willing to play with them. So, I mean, it still would have been, his game would have been just as, I don't want to say bad, it would have been just as tough a row to hoe, I guess is a way of saying it. Like, he's not playing a bad game. He's not being dragged down by Joe. He's being dragged down by the circumstances or just surrounding the game.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I think if the other players weren't associating him so closely with Joe, he might have a better chance getting in with somebody. And because he's stuck with Joe, he's trying to play around Joe. I'm trying to play like he's trying to be the villain, but Joe's the villain. You know, like Joe says, that's my role. I'm, you know, creeping on my territory. I'm like, it's the two of you. You can do whatever the fuck you want. It doesn't matter. But like he's having to play off of this guy instead of having to play off somebody better. If he had somebody better, maybe the two of them could have done something more productive. The problem is that Joe is such a shit player and such a drag that the two of them, there's no way they could have swung something out. I mean, whether or not Joe is smart and strategic, nobody's going to want to play with him for very much longer because he's so fucking annoying. I mean, he could have been just as stuck by the circumstance, maybe, but there's a chance if it's Desi and Mike at the end as the last two, they're both smart. Maybe they could actually get something to work. Maybe they could. Maybe Desi would have been like, all right, Mike, I know you're annoyed at Ryan, but let's pull it together so we can actually do a 5-4 for real. Instead of overconfident, dumbass Joe.
Let's make it clear. Joe is such a douchebag that they went for the stupid decision. It really would have been a much better idea at that point to get rid of Ben, like they were about. And they didn't do it just because they hate Joe so much.
Well, yeah. You're right, but also they'll have another chance in the future. Unless Ben just keeps winning immunity challenges, they'll get another chance. Because remember, Lauren has the two votes. And so, let's see, what is it? There's eight people left now?
Seven.
Oh, that's right, because there were two eliminations. So it started with nine, then eight, then seven. So now there's seven. So that's a natural breaking point. Like, she and three other people could vote out another three people. You know what I mean? Somebody could flip. That's what Devin was doing wrong when he's talking to Ben before the first council. And he's like, look, we need to flip this thing on its side now. We need to vote out JP. We need to vote out JP. To realize this is that any odd number is a time to change the game, which means that she can do it next time. But also, since she has the double votes, she can also do it next time.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, my fear is that they're finally going to get wise on Ben and want to vote him out when Lauren uses her advantage. And Ben then also uses his idol. Like, I don't want that advantage getting like we had last season, even though this would only be two. And it's just one canceling out the other. But, like, they do have a good chance to get out Ben. But if they do wait too long, they don't know he has an idol. And I don't think any of them see him as an idol hunter the way they thought of Joe. But it's a legitimate possibility, especially now they're going to have to think about it with Mike having played his. They don't know where Mike got his. Nobody knew Mike had one. So they have to – nobody brought it up, but they should think about what happened to that idol. Did somebody get it? Was that from this beach? But I guess no, they wouldn't, because Ryan knows he has it. Ryan has his, but Ryan played his. So I don't know. We need to see who says what, I suppose.
Yeah. And these people have not been particularly bright, and I say that because that's the thing I've been learning through Ponderosa, watching them afterwards. Everyone has fallen for everything. Maybe I shouldn't say they're not too bright. I should just say they're very, 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 very credulous, and they fall for everything. So they may not have put together that there was an idol at their current beach, or at least another idol. Although, man, I really wanted him to miss it. Not for whatever petty reasons or anything, but just because it was so high up and he was looking down on the ground. I was like, man, I wanted to just like, oh, well, it's got to be around here somewhere. I can find it next time or something like that. That would have been so great because it was kind of hard to find.
Have him say like he's going to come back later, and then we go back to a scene of Devin laying out on the ground wasted like he was right before the merge. He just happens to lay down there and see the pot up in the tree.
Yeah. Or he goes back to camp, and then somebody else is walking through the forest, like getting wood or something. Like, why is there a jar up in that tree? Come on. That would have been great.
I like that he bend that idol. Like, I feel like anybody else would have tried to climb the tree. He's like, fuck that. I'm going to take a big fucking stick and beat the shit out of it.
He got like a log.
Just hucked it up there and seemingly hit. I mean, maybe editing changed it, but he seemingly hit on the first try too.
Yeah. He was so giddy. Yeah. When he got the altitude. It was adorable.
Yeah. If they ever do a throwing spears challenge, he'll be fine, which they might do because the challenge is, oh my God, listen to that Segway, motherfucker. Oh, you see that mall cop driving around? What's he on? A Segway. The challenges in the season have been really, 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 really good. There have been a lot of original challenges. I like that. Like this poop log puzzle. I've been calling that because it really was. Hey, you gotta push logs to make poop out of the puzzle.
The one I like better was the trolley cart over the obstacle course.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like
I couldn't even
hand cart thing, like a wheelbarrow.
Yeah. And the fact that, well, I like that Christy got it right off the... Well, I don't want to say right off the bat. She had to throw her letters up there. But every now and again, especially when you get this deep in the game and people are hungry and not feeling very good, they, like, stare at letters and they just don't know how they work anymore. But Christy was... I used to know somebody named Christy, so I'm keep calling Chrissy Christy. Anyway, Chrissy sees the letters, like, I wasn't really sure what to call it, so I wrote down Wheelie Dealie in this thing. I like that, but I liked it mainly because Ryan and Mike just could not get past that first hump. And then Chrissy, when she finally got all of her letters over there, was she must have played a couple good junior jumbles in the daily paper. The other one I really liked in that one was Ashley just putting all, she's like, I'm behind. I can't afford to make two trips. So she just sticks all eight of her letters on there and just hucks them all at once. Yeah. That was really good on her part. Yeah. But then let's see, we also had the,
that's not all of them, but yeah.
Oh, that's right. There were 11, but whatever. She did it basically in two goes instead of whatever.
Three.
Yeah, instead of three like everyone else. But we also had a challenge, which was a very good challenge for reward, but was also very obviously in there to appeal to Quentin Tarantino and other foot fetishists. Like,
that one was not new. They've done that
before. Yeah, I've seen that one before, and it's a good challenge. I enjoy that one because it's hard to do, right? Like, try moving your feet properly, and because... Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of the immunity challenge, the balancing one that finally I won an immunity challenge points. This is the first one.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just
you had a good week out of Ashley, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, sure. I did. Unfortunately, it still wasn't enough. I'm so far behind.
Yeah, no, I think Brian's the one to catch. But yeah, I like the foot one. I like the foot one because... Because
you like feet.
Because it's one... No, because it's one that anybody
can win. You're a nasty boy, and you like dirty, grimy feet. All 10 toes, it's like little niblets of corn.
Okay.
It's one that anybody could win, you know? Like, even if you're a good coordination person, that's probably not the kind of coordination you're good at.
Right, yeah.
It's just a complete toss-up.
You can practice
that. That's what makes it interesting to watch, because there's, you know, the physical ones, the puzzle ones, you kind of have an idea who's going to have the advantage going into it. But this one, I don't know, it could be anyway. It's fun to watch.
See, but the When I was there, I was thinking, like, if I was there, as soon as he said burgers, I was going back, man, I would win this challenge if I was there because he said fucking burger. But then I was like, no, I'm a fucking klutz. I definitely wouldn't be able to win this challenge.
You just got to start picking up things off the floor with your feet. I do it all the time.
I mean,
pick up towels. Yeah, you see, there you go. Start by towels and then just start dealing out cards with your feet.
I got a lot better at having foot dexterity when I had a daughter, and I just started like rocking the like little swing with my foot, and then she was like learning to crawl, and I would like shove her around with my foot.
Because you're a bully,
kid. In a while too.
I'm gonna kick you around, just like life's gonna kick you around. And by the way, the proper term is Padaya dexterity. So, anyways, JP's Ponderosa is bad. Like, it's just boring. JP is as dull as you'd think he would be. He just got out there and he started talking about, yeah, you know, I'm a firefighter at search and rescue and I do all this kind of stuff. So I was afraid, I wasn't worried about the physicality, but I was worried about the food. And he does kind of talk in a monotone. He is just not a very interesting person, unfortunately. The most interesting thing was watching him exercise, and he exercises like crazy. And then Desi's talking about how, like, yeah, I think he's exercising just to get away from the fact that he got voted off and all that. I was like, I don't know. I think he really might just be that bro-y, and that's the reason why he was doing it.
Yeah, and I'm disappointed to see him go because he's on my fantasy team. Of course, I was disappointed to see him go. But as soon as you're in tribal council, he says, you know, the problem, you know, you think of plan B, but, you know, you always stick with plan A. You can't get rid of plan B until you're done with plan A. I'm like, bro, you're going home.
Yeah.
Like, because the second you say that, you know you're gone. Because the plan doesn't stay the same 3 or 4 episodes in a row. It never does. It's like, have you ever seen Survivor?
Yeah, not even
that. You have to think 2 or 3 steps ahead.
Not even that, but, like, assume he had survived. Like, they decided to stick with the plan. The minute you say something like that, you lose a lot of votes on the final jury if you make it that far. Because, oh, yeah, I just followed the plan. Okay, well, that's great. But did you make the plan? No? Okay, then who made the plan? That person's going to get my vote.
Yeah, and it's not a, it's either way, it's not an authoritative stance. Stick with the plan, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Everybody stick to the plan.
Yeah.
Please, I don't want to go out.
Or, you know, convince people to stick to the plan. Like, that was the problem. He, in fairness, he didn't know he was going to be voted out. He didn't know he was the target. But, like, he didn't even bother trying to convince them. He was just like, yeah, you got a plan, you stick with it. And you go, boom, boom, boom.
You sound like Yogi Bear for a second.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Before I move on from this, we need to go back. One thing about the challenge in the water where they're balancing on the thing.
Oh, yes.
So when Jeff offered them peanut butter and chocolate, that was really ballsy of Ben to take it. Because they were already going on about how he's like King Arthur and they're, you know, he's a big threat. And, you know, and then he actually takes the thing that says, I feel like I'm totally safe. I'm going to go eat this. That was really ballsy.
Did he have the idol by then already, though?
Yeah, but so they didn't know that.
See, but he has the idol, and it also looks like he. I think it plays into his acting, right? If he's, because then he could go back to camp and say, "I'm on the downside tribe anyway." So it's not like.
But,
well, I guess then it
again,
would be.
That didn't happen yet, though.
Yeah. Right. Because this was the first immunity challenge, so he, in theory, thought he... Well, acting-wise, he... Kayfabe, he thought he
That's
was still...
They weren't acting. He doesn't get to the acting part yet. That didn't happen.
Yeah, so he didn't have to think... His character didn't have to think that he was safe. You know what I mean. You know what I'm trying to say is that he could afford to go over there, and that actually, because they had the... I think they had the plan at that point. Yeah, because this is the immunity challenge.
I'm saying they didn't, though.
Well, no, they had the...
They came up with that afterward.
No. They came up with that before going into that first tribal.
Yeah. And that was definitely before... That was after that fucking immunity challenge.
Probably. I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure, but regardless, though, it doesn't matter because he felt he was safe because either he felt he was safe because they were getting rid of a hero, healer, god damn it, or his character, Kayfabe, thought he was safe because Kayfabe thought that they were going to go for another healer. And so he was just playing the role. So it's one or the other, but it's the same effect.
Exactly. That's why it was ballsy. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
But speaking of that, here's a good segue. When you're saying the plan they came up with, let's give credit where credit due. The plan Devin came up with, that was all Devin, like both votes.
Yeah. I think Devin is making a serious shot at winning this season.
Yeah.
I feel like Devin was emboldened by Lauren, because Lauren at the reward challenge is the one that put into their heads, like, look, we are the four, and those are the rest. Like, this is the thing, and this is our chance to make a move. And then he, give him credit where it's due, he came up with the idea, and he did it, and everything worked out fine. But I do feel that Lauren was the catalyst for this whole swing in the game.
No, see, but no, she gave him the opportunity to do it, but it was absolutely his idea to make pretend that he was on the wrong side of it.
No, you're correct.
I think Lauren comes in and says, let's lay all this down. Let's share all the information. Let's get it on the table right now. Let's do what we got right here. And that's great, but then Devin's the one who takes it and runs with it and actually builds a plan. Lauren, I think, is just let's lay this on the table, and here's the plan moving into the next couple of weeks. We will be the four, and there'll be 4-3-2 or 4-2-2, and then we can just kind of run the table from there. Especially she was thinking, well, like, I have the advantage right now, so even if it does go 4-5, I can play, and it can be 5-5. And then on a revote, we can, you know. I think she was trying to be like, let's lay this out right now. But Devin's plan was like, hold up. We can make this even better, guys.
Basically, she was the one that put this alliance together, and he was the one that found the opportunity for the alliance to make a move. So they both get credit for different things, but they're both important.
Yeah. I have a feeling Lauren's not going to last too long. She's a little bit too blunt in her gameplay.
Yeah.
Her social gameplay, whereas Devin, I think, does a good job. I really like Devin because Devin goes to Ryan and makes Ryan apologize to him after Devin stabbed him in the back. Ryan sees it Devin's way by the end. Like, that's incredible social finesse, especially when you're this hungry and tired. I'm going to stab you in the back, and then I'm going to go, and I'm going to make you apologize to me for making me do that to you.
Well, let's be fair here. Ryan is bad at everything.
Ryan is pretty bad at this game. Way worse than advertising at the beginning of the year.
He's bad at the social game. He's bad at the challenges. He's bad at lifting things. He's bad at cooking. Ryan, he's been entertaining. I don't mean to dump on him entirely, but he is very bad at this game.
What the hell were they thinking trying to make him pick up that big bag of blocks?
I know, seriously. Right?
Like, how Jeff is like, the back weighs more than he does, guys.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if he's strong. That's not how physics work.
Yeah.
I did like the moment of that they showed us Devin wearing Ben's hat. Because if you do see Ben having been King Arthur orchestrating the Seven, then this was the passing of the crown in the episode as Devin becomes the true ringleader. So, like, the idea of Ben being the leader of this, definitely that passed on to Devin this episode, I think.
Yeah,
so that was nice. It was like a frivolous little moment, but it had good symbolism where it was placed in the episode.
I will also say that as good an actor as Ben is, Devin and Ashley are not. Like, they were way overplaying their hands, and it became real obvious.
And smirking?
Yeah, and smirking and all that. So, luckily, though, Joe is a dumb idiot.
Yeah.
Joe could not figure it out.
He's so overconfident. God, it was so great when he got kind of been. What is it called? There's a cyber. I think it's called Justice Porn. Where it's stuff like this, like people getting their comeuppance. This belongs.
I think if you look up poetic justice in the dictionary, it says see season 35, episode 10 of Survivor.
Just because he got so cocky, and especially after the JP vote, he comes back and he's telling, I don't even know who it was, I think he was telling Chrissy, just be lucky it wasn't you. And Ben is like, the fuck, bro? You didn't have anything to do with this. Like, you were the bring-along vote, as I duped you. And you're acting like you orchestrated everything, you fucking moron.
Yeah, that's why he's like, yeah, well, if we're not on the bottom anymore. What? Yes, you are, idiot. They're using you.
Yeah. Okay, Joe, even if what you think is happening, you get out those four and then guess where you are. You're still the bottom of wherever the fuck you are. You always are, Joe. Which is what made, what was Chrissy's moment. Yeah, she said, that was an incredibly tight alliance. It's Joe Lee's.
Well, that's my point. I love that too, because it really was. She just didn't know who the alliance
exactly.
was.
Exactly.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. And Joe, to get to his Ponderosa, it was actually pretty good. He decompressed from the game pretty well, like, you know, talked about it and everything, and just wasn't having a good time with Desi and JP and Cole. See, I know their names. Had a good time with them. They, you know, I have a feeling that they're still not exactly Joe fans or anything, but what was really neat is because next week's episode is going to be the family episode. They had flown them all out. Like, they don't, I guess they fly him out ahead of time. So his sister was there and she came by and, like, talked to him, and he actually, like, he's loud, a loud person, but you know what? We've got a lot of friends who are loud. He was not that obnoxious. You could tell that he and his sister have a deep, 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 deep bond. And so, yeah, no, it was really interesting to see them. Don't be a weirdo. But yeah,
you were going over the foot fetish stuff earlier.
Yeah, that's because, hey, foot fetish is one thing, not that I have one. Incest is different. There's a gulf there.
Okay, okay. True, okay.
Yeah, but no, anyway, they got along real well, and it was actually really neat, like, because I think that he was definitely talking to her in a way that other people in the game just didn't want to talk to him at all.
So, I will say to counter that, something I have been reading on the forums is that they're upset that they allowed him to meet with his sister, because there's points in the game that are milestones for players. Like, I got to the merge, I got to this point, and one of those milestone points is the family visit. So the fact that he got the family visit, but he didn't get to the family visit,
Who cares?
Felt like it was something he shouldn't. They felt like it deteriorated that achievement for people.
Internet, shut up, get over yourselves. Who cares?
I agree. That's not cool.
If she's already there, why not?
No. This is just like a... I don't even remember what it was Shirin was talking about. Oh, yeah. Or I feel like he can just, like, sit out and get the reward. And she's like, no, fuck you. You have to earn it.
He's not in the game. You know what, like I...
That. Exactly. He's not in the game anymore. Therefore, he didn't earn it.
What? No, it's fine. This it's different. It's way different from the Will situation. It's whatever.
Yeah, way different because this guy wasn't. I mean, he was being an abusive dick, but I am. So maybe not too different.
And because it's not like this. Because the other reason that you don't that you need to earn it while you're in the game is that a visit from a family member is going to give you an emotional boost to carry you for a couple of days and make you play a better game. He's out of the game. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect anything anymore. They get to eat once they leave Ponderosa, or I'm sorry, once they leave for Ponderosa, right? Are they still going to be on the 400 calorie a day diet that they've got to be on?
Yeah.
No, they get to eat huge ass hamburgers. What? Just if the family's there, just let them do it. Who cares? People are. If you're mad, if you're legit mad about this, get a life.
Ah, good. Yeah. I'm happy I got a Nick Ran out.
All right. Is there anything else you guys want to bring up?
No, I don't think so.
We've been going for a little bit. So, yeah. Well, we already... because we have a note in here about Devin, but we already basically brought it all up. I'm sorry. No, the one thing... Yeah, the thing that I should have mentioned is that... well, never mind, because he actually brought it up. I was going to say that they should blindside Devin next week, but it looks like they're going to be blindsiding Ben instead. Or that's how the edit has us thinking. But it was some comments... Yeah, it was some comments that he made about, like, you know, once, you know, we will run this thing because there is four of us and we will have 4-on-3 and we can just vote them all out. And whenever anyone says that, it's like, well, you know, now's a great time because you know that he thinks he's on top and so you want to take them down. You want to, you can find two people from the bottom and bring them to the top of the new order. So we'll see how it goes, but it looks like they're going for Ben instead.
The problem is, too, at this point, there's few enough players that I think the majority of the people left are good vote out blindside candidates. And I think that's the problem. Like, it's a good time to get out Ben, because Ben is, Ben, they executed the acting perfectly. Ben is back in favor, you know, they were, and, but that also makes him super dangerous because he was the actor here. And so he's the guy that they're going to associate with from the jury. But then Devin's the one who orchestrated it, and the people like he votes out that knew that will give credit to Devin. So Devin's a good blindside target, but also Lauren's good to blindside because she's got the advantage. So if you can get her to waste it or go home with it, she's a perfect candidate. And otherwise, like you were saying, she's a catalyst. She does a lot of surprising strategy here behind the scenes. But also, Chrissy is still a good candidate to get on next week, too, because she is a smart player. And, I mean, she's one, the logical one to get rid of next. But if for some reason she wins immunity, then she will weasel her way into getting another. And that's four of the seven left. Like, there's a lot of good players left in this. You're at the point where a lot of them are good candidates.
I've never understood your big fascination with Chrissy's gameplay. Like, for example, like this episode, after she figured out she was on the wrong side of the first vote, she was just like sitting on her thing going, well, I can't do anything about it now. Damn it, I lost already. Yeah. Like, no, fuck you. Go fucking figure it out and do something.
Chrissy's gameplay was good when she was in charge. But the minute something bad happens, it's like, well, it's all over. I don't know what to do. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, we were seeing, but in fairness, the last couple of weeks we've been seeing her when she was the one in charge and doing things, and so her gameplay looked good. We didn't know that she would just give up at the first bump.
Yeah. But, speaking of blindsides, remember all last season where, like, after every vote they'd put hashtag blindside up there, even if it was just, like, a normal vote?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this time there were two that were absolutely blindsides. So they didn't put anything on there.
No hashtags, because hashtags are dumb. People don't use hashtags. They're stupid.
Thank you.
Yeah.
As somebody who's in marketing, yes. Thank you for saying that.
Especially if you, if you are a private person, like a private citizen, and you're talking and you're like, I want to talk about Survivor, hashtagging your thing Survivor is a good idea. All right, fine. No problem. If you're watching wrestling and it's like, all right, hashtag Raw. Also, because that allows people to mute your hashtag if they don't want to hear it. So that's polite. But by and large, you don't use hashtags, especially when I see people hashtagging the weirdest things in the world. It's like, stop that. And if you're a corporate brand, fucking definitely stop it. No one is ever going to use your hashtag.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Bets and fantasy and all that, you take over.
There's one bet. It's still there. It's not going to matter.
It's going to matter. Decide how that ends. Like, do we both get like points at after the end of the last episode? Like,
yes.
Because I don't know.
Yes.
How else we know when this ends?
Yes.
It will be at the end of the episode.
Brian and I are going to get 3 points at the end, no matter what.
The bet that we have on the board is whether or not the map gimmick that they're doing this season for idle clues is going to matter one way or another. Matter that somebody will find one that somebody didn't erase. So, like, if somebody goes and finds the rock that Ben flipped over and finds it and goes looking for it, realizes, like, it's not there. If this gimmick matters at all or not. I said yes, it will, just be contrarian, and Brian and Nick said no. So we won't have the resolution for this bet until after the finale, because it could matter all the way up until the end. So we won't know until the very end. But it's the only bet we have on the board. We should get some more, but this always happens late in the season. None of us want to – we're too competitive, and we don't want to make dumb bets.
Yeah.
but let's see. Nick, sorry, buddy. You came into the week in last with 46 points. You had Joe, so he got you one for surviving post-merge tribal the first week, but then not the second episode. And then Mike got you two just for surviving, and then Ashley got you a whopping 8 motherfucking points. She was the star of the week, got the most points. She got 2 reward wins, immunity win, and survivable tribal, so that's 8. That's 11 onto your 46, giving you 57. Brian, you came into the weekend second with 61. You got 3 from Ryan because he survived twice and played his advantage. It didn't end up mattering that he played it, but he got you a point. You got 4 from Lauren for a reward win and the survival, and you got 6 from Ben because 2 reward wins and 2 survivals. So that's 13 on your 61, giving you 74. I came into the week winning with 68, but I had JP. So I got a flat zero from JP. I got 4 from Chrissy because of the immunity win and survivals. And I got 6 from Devin because of 2 reward wins and 2 survivals. So that gives me 10 out of my 68, gives me 78. So I'm in the lead with 78, Brian has 74, and Nick has 57. We could discuss a little bit, but there's no one in the waiver wire, so what you got?
There actually is a thing that I was going to mention, because we forgot to mention Ryan playing his immunity needlessly, which was all due to Ben. Because Ben, they were all talking, you know, everyone's convinced, yeah, we're on the outs, we're all going home now, doesn't that suck? And Spies R Us Ben says, yes, it does. If I were you, I would play my immunity idol. And he did. It was just like, when he said that, I was like, God damn, Ben, you are good at this.
Yeah, that was a flat on the fly moment.
Yeah, I'm digging that. Okay, sorry. Go on.
If Ben doesn't win, do you want to see him come back?
Probably not.
For second chances down the line.
Not really.
Is he interesting enough to watch?
He's good for this, but honestly, I don't think I want to see anyone from this. Well, I'm sorry, that's not entirely true. A couple of people got voted out early. I might be willing to see again because we didn't see enough of them. But by and large, I think I've seen enough of these people. Maybe Mike, but I don't think he would want to.
Okay. I would talk about trades, but I don't want to trade. I've got Chrissy and Devin. I'm feeling pretty good. I feel like Devin's got a decent shot to win. And, you know, Chrissy, it's fine. Here or there.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if they turn on Devin, I've pretty much got this in the bag. If the next one they vote out Devin, you're pretty screwed at that point.
Yeah, but I think just as likely they're going to turn on Lauren or Ben.
Yeah.
So...
That's true.
You got Lauren, Ben, and Ryan. I'm confident Ryan's not going to get you any points. He's not going to win individual.
Well, he's going to keep getting me 2 points for not getting voted. Well, or 1 anyway for not getting voted out.
Is Ryan a sacrificial goat at this point?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Is he somebody you aim to take to the final tribal council? Being like this motherfucker did nothing.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything.
Oh my god, that is. Oh, Devin needs to make it, because Devin could be like, I picked my goat week 1. Day 1, I picked my goat, and here he is.
He thought he was playing me, but he was playing himself.
It'd be fantastic if Ryan starts off his testimonial going, Devin and I on the beach on day 1 decided that we were going to be allies, and here we are together, and all this, and Devin stands up and like, here's my goat. I picked him out on day 1, and I am ready to kill him now. I have fattened him up like a lamb. Oh, that'd be great. It's not going to happen, though, but it'd be great. Nick, is there anything you want to do to try and cover your season?
Nah, I'm so far out that it doesn't matter.
I'll trade you Chrissy for Ashley.
No, I like Ashley.
Okay. Don't give him Ashley.
God. I'm not giving him Ashley. No, she's fit.
All right.
No, for my sake, don't give him Ashley. That's my point.
Well, then I guess that's it for fantasy.
Which, in that case, because we have said all that we need to say, also means that's it for this episode. And we will talk to you guys next week about whatever the hell happens, probably involving Ben. Will Joe be involved? Definitely not. We will see you then. Have fun. Goodbye. I love you. Bye.
This has been a Night of the Living Geeks production. For more information and content, visit NLTLG.com.